Remembrance Day. We stop at 11 a.m. and remember. But then also think about Anzac Day. Now, why do we celebrate Anzac Day? What is the motto for Anzac Day? Lest we forget. It's about remembering, isn't it? It's about remembering because we don't want to forget what has happened in the past. Why? We might say, well, it's to give honour and remember those who fought for our freedom and everything else, and that's true. But also, what is another reason why we remember? We remember, don't we, so we don't make the same mistakes again. You've heard probably the saying, we learn from history. We learn from the past. We learn from experiences. But here's the question. Do we? Do we actually learn from history? Do we learn? Just think about your own life for a moment. Do you learn from your past experiences? Do you learn from past mistakes? How good are we at remembering? Well, what happens when we don't remember? What happens when you don't remember the road rules? Accidents happen, the police book you. Sadly, at times people get hurt. What happens when you don't remember how to do your job? You'll probably get sacked. What happens if you don't remember to hand in your school assessments or your uni assignments? You're probably going to fail. What happens when you don't remember to do your tax at this time of year? The tax man's probably going to come. Now, having three of my children now having to be paying taxes, they're all asking the question, when do we do it? But at least they've remembered they have to do it. What happens when you don't remember a loved one's birthday? You're probably going to be in trouble. What happens when we don't remember? There's trouble. There's chaos at times. There's anarchy. At times there can be punishments and sadly, in some cases, even people getting hurt and death. So remembering is important. And I think all of us would say, we know remembering is important. Well, what about with God? Is remembering important with Him? And I think we get some answers. You know, Greta gave us those hints earlier from Scripture, and I think we find more here when we come to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here we're in the middle of a section where Paul has been talking about the different troubles this church is facing. They've got issues with immorality, adultery, misuse of spiritual gifts, the breaking of family relationships, eating food sacrificed to idols, idolatry in many different forms. And into this we read verse 6. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Down again in verse 11. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. Paul says to this church who are really struggling with sin, to this church at Corinth that were having all these groups, you know, remember we looked at, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow someone else, I don't follow the Bible at all. You know, all those people within the church itself, the church was about to fly apart, the church was about to split. And they were trying to work out, how do we live for God? And Paul says, it all revolves around remembering. Remembering what God has done for you. Remembering what God is doing for you so that you could live for Him. Well, how do you live for God? Remember, says Paul. Let me read to you verse 1 and 2 again. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, when you hear that, what's it reminding you of? Now, it's reminding you, isn't it, of the ancient history of the Jewish people. You know, God raised up Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And when God led the people out of Egypt, He went before them as a cloud. And when they came to the Red Sea, God parts the Red Sea. God's people go through the Red Sea. And as the Egyptian army charges in after them, God brings the waves and the water back in and the army is destroyed. there were lots of Jewish people in this church at Corinth, and they would know that instantly. As soon as Paul started talking about this, they would make that connection. And Paul even takes it a little bit step further, and he says that imagery of going down into the water, through the water and out, that picture that God has saved you, he says that's like being baptized. So in those verses, he talks about they were all baptized into Moses. And the people in the church at Corinth, whether they're the Jews or the Gentiles, the non-Jews, they would have immediately realized that's the picture. That's the imagery Paul was given. And we know that from ourselves. When we see someone go through the waters of baptism, they've made a choice to love and follow Jesus. They either go down into the water and then they come out. And we know from Romans 6, it talks about that's the imagery of what God has done for you. God has saved you. You have this new life. Why, it says in Romans 6, would you then want to live any other way? And Paul was saying to this church at Corinth, you know that imagery and you know it from your history. But not just that whole idea of baptism. Look at verse 3 and 4. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And again, you would know, this: when God's people were being led through the wilderness, who provided for them? God. He provided manna, the bread, so they could eat it. He provided quail so that they could have some meat. He provided water from a rock so that they could drink. And the people in the church at Corinth, they would go, yeah, we understand that. That is our Jewish history. But then he says this, and maybe you, when it was read out earlier, you started scratching your head. Look at the end of verse 4. And that rock was Christ. Now, if you're sitting there in the church thinking, yeah, we know our ancient Jewish history, what do you mean Jesus was back there? Now, Jesus has just died and been resurrected. Now, we've just put our faith in him. What do you mean he was all the way back there? They would have been confused. But what Paul, again, was drawing that picture, he was giving them the imagery, not just that God saved his people, but that God provides for his people. For the church at Corinth, they weren't saved by God and provided for by God because of their Jewish tradition, but because of Jesus. And so he reminds them here, remember what God has done in the past. Right back at the beginning, and we read this at the beginning of our Bibles, God chose his people, God saved his people, God led and provided for his people. Get to the New Testament, through Jesus, God saved his people, God is providing for his people. It's the same thing. Paul says, remember. Remember the past, remember what happened with the Jews. Remember what is happening to you in the church at Corinth. You weren't saved by anything you did, saved by God, provided for by God. Remember that. Us reading it today, the same reminder, saved by God through Jesus, provided for by God every day through what Jesus did for us. And then into this we read verse 5. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. The Jewish people forgot that to remember. They forgot that God had saved them. They forgot that God provided for them. They grumbled in the wilderness. They turned their back on God. Do you remember when Moses went up on the mount and Mount Sinai and he was given the Ten Commandments and he talked to God? You know, he wasn't up there that long. And when he came off the mountain, just in that little while, they already created another idol to worship. God, they forgot almost instantly. God says here they forgot to remember him and they were punished for their sins. And in the following verses, it reminds us the examples of what they did. They had sexual immorality, idolatry, grumbling. They tested God and so on and so on. I want you to imagine though, you're sitting in the church at Corinth. You've got this letter from Paul and it's being read out to you. And it talks about sexual immorality. It talks about idolatry. It talks about grumbling. It talks about testing God. It talks about cliques within the God's people. You're probably sitting there in the church at Corinth ticking the box. We do that. We do that. We do that. Paul has just said to them, God rebuked them and punished them, God's people in the wilderness, because they forgot to remember, because they did all these things. If you're sitting there in the church at Corinth, you can't help but think, is that going to happen to us? We've just ticked all the boxes. We're doing all those sins just like they did. So Paul says, remember. Remember, because you don't want to be punished like they were. But I think some in the church, and maybe even some of you today, think, well, Stephen, you know, what's really the point of trying to remember what God has done in the past? You know, remembering God saved us, remembering God provided for us. Now, for those people in the church in Corinth, and maybe for some here today, they were thinking, but you know, we live this side of Jesus. We're saved by Jesus. We don't have to remember all that. Well, look what he says in verse 12. So, if you think, it's almost like he's reading their minds. He knows what they're thinking. So, if you think you are standing firm, in other words, if you think that you've made it, now you follow Jesus, you're okay, you're super spiritual, you don't need to remember. He says, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful that you don't fall. Paul still wants them to remember. He doesn't want them to think they've made it as Christians. He doesn't, because in this church at Corinth, they were starting to think how good they were. Now, it was some of the problems in the church. It was almost like, oh, we don't really need Jesus anymore. How we've made it. And Paul says, no. You follow Jesus. You say you follow Jesus. Great. You say you know that God loves you. God saved you. Great. You say you know God provides for you. Great. But don't forget it. Remember that. Otherwise, you can fall, says Paul. But let's think for a moment. Let's think about our world today. Let's think about the church in the world today. Do we have church leaders that get caught in adultery or other forms of sexual immorality? Yes. Do we have leaders within the church that sadly get caught for things like tax evasion or stealing finances or stuff like that? Yes. Do we have leaders within the church who change God's word to say what they want to say instead of actually listening to the true meaning of God? Yes. Do we have leaders in the worldwide church who put other things before God? Idolatry. Yes. When we think of those questions, and we could probably think of a whole bunch more, the answer is yes. So the question is, have we remembered? Have we learned from the sins of the past? The Jewish people did it right back at the beginning of the Bible and were judged by God. The Corinthian church were doing it, and now Paul challenges them to remember so they are not judged by God. 2,000 years later, we're making the exact same mistakes. And if we think of church leaders who make these mistakes, what about the general people within the church? There's the possibility of making these mistakes. So have we learned from our mistakes? Have we learned from our past? And sadly, I think the answer is no. Why? Because I think like Paul, as he challenges the church at Corinth, I think we've forgotten to remember. You know, sometimes people will say to me that, yeah, they know that they love God. They know God provides for them, but God doesn't know their situation. Now, they tell me that no one else is going through what they're going through, so it's actually okay when they face temptation to sin because no one experiences what they experience. Or maybe they've said temptation is too strong. I can't resist it. So, you know, we have this sinful nature, even though we still love Jesus. So it's okay to give in to that temptation. Well, sometimes someone will say to me, Stephen, there's just no way out. I may as well just give in to the temptation. Have you ever said something like that? I mean, they're all excuses of why people give in to temptation and give in to sin, to make a choice to not live God's way. Have we made those choices? Because the church, people in the church of Corinth, that's exactly how they were feeling. Look at verse 13 through the 14. Two of the verses, which I actually think are a couple of the greatest verses for us in the Bible. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. To the church at Corinth, who were facing all forms of idolatry, all forms of sexual immorality, all choices that they were making which were going against God's word, Paul challenges them to remember. And as they remember, to flee from their sin. Now, that just some of those excuses, that whole idea that no one else is going through what I'm going through. God doesn't understand. People don't understand. I may as well just give in to my temptation. But what does God say to that? And God says it's a lie. Look at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. The temptations you face are not unique. You can't use the excuse, no one else knows what I'm going through. Because God says it is all common to mankind. We all face temptation. The excuse that temptation is too strong for me to resist. At times, yes, temptation is very strong and we might not be able to resist it. But we can't use the excuse. It's just, you know, our sinful nature. Because we may not be able to resist it in our own strength, but God can. And God helps us. You know, that whole idea again is a lie. Look what God says. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Aren't they great words? Yes, we face temptation every single day, but you have the ability to say no to it. God says you can endure it. Why? Because I've given you nothing you can't deal with. If you rely on me, says God. Now, I will help you endure it. I will help you say no to sin. I will help you to forgo the temptation. The other comment, the excuse that's often made, well, there's no way out. I may as well just give in to it. And God says, well, no, it's a lie again. When you are tempted, I'll provide a way that you can endure it. Therefore, friends, flee from idolatry. The Jews could have said no to sin. Now, when you read through their wilderness journey, they at all stages could have said no to sin and lived God's way. All they had to do was remember what God had done, that God had saved them, that God was providing for them every day, that God had given them the Ten Commandments, God had given them His Word, God had challenged them so that they could say no to sin. They could flee their sin, but they chose not to. The church at Corinth could say no to sin. All they had to do is remember what God had done through them through Jesus. All they had to do is remember what God had done in the past for the Jewish people. They could look back and remember and say no to sin and flee it. Same is for us today. Now we can say no to sin. We don't have to give excuses and fall for the temptation that leads into sin. Because we too can remember. Remember, we have the whole Bible. We have the whole story of what God has done, is doing, and will do. And that can help us say no to sin. We can remember and then flee from sin. The question is, will we? Now, as I said earlier, these verses are in a section where Paul was dealing with different forms of idolatry. And idolatry is where we put anything before God. As we just reflect on that today, what forms of idolatry may be in our lives? What's the idolatrous temptation that maybe you're facing today or during the week? What it might it be? You know, it may not be the same as what the church at Corinth faced, but what are we facing? You know, what takes time away from putting God first? You know, is there something in our life? Maybe it's work. Maybe it's education. Maybe it's family or certain relationships that gets in the way of putting God first. At times, maybe it's just plain laziness, that we choose anything and everything else to do and not choose God. Are there broken relationships? Are there past hurts that we hold on to that take away our joy from putting God first? What forms of idolatry maybe we face today? What might you face? God says through all of that, we can say no to sin. We can put him first if we remember. How good are we today at remembering? How good today are we at fleeing from our sin? Paul challenged the church at Corinth to remember their Jewish and Christian heritage. He would challenge us today and say, remember the whole Bible. You got the whole story. Remember it and flee from sin. How often do we take time to read it? I'm not talking just about a Sunday, but do we take time to read ourselves during the week? And do we go to one of the KYB groups on a Wednesday? And those are the places that we can learn together. Do we try to understand God's word? Do we pray through it? Do we memorize it? Do we sing it? Are you having the opportunity to come this afternoon to the hymn sing here and sing some of the great hymns that have taken the truths of Scripture and put them to song? Do we write down the truths we've learned from Scripture, the challenges that we've got? Do we then go out to live it out? How good are we at remembering? How well do we do in knowing God's word and how he wants us to live our life? Because we need to know it so we know the choices to make. How good are we at fleeing from our sin? Paul challenged the church at Corinth to remember. Today he challenges us to remember. How do you want to live for God? It begins with remembrance. But not just keep it head knowledge. But whether it's here or when we walk out the door, it's then putting it into action. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that we can remember. We thank you that we can remember all that you have done for us, all that you are doing for us every single day. Father, we thank you that you saved us. We thank you that you provided for us through Jesus. And Lord, we want to live your way. We want to know your word, so we want to know how to live. But Father, we often fail, we sin. Lord, help us to come to you and ask for forgiveness when we do that. To say no to sin through your help, through the Spirit, and then go and live your way. So Father, whether it's today or this week, please help us to say no to sin, to flee from sin, and to remember you. And we pray for this now in your name. Amen.